The Monty Show, Friday, June 15th. How the heck are you? Friday, June 15th. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
How are you, buddy?
Good.
Make sure you find us on the iHeartRadio app, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Just search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. We have got a lot today. We've got to talk about the Kawhi Leonard breaking news that is not breaking news. He supposedly wants out of San Antonio, and ESPN's reporting it. So it must be true, right?
Obviously.
Please, it's totes, Avi.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm being a jerk. I don't think it's breaking news at all. LeBron James lied through his teeth. Major League Baseball wants the Universal DH. And Jake is getting picked up for a date tonight to go and see the Incredibles movie. And she's paying. And driving. And she picked out the movie. Did you get her flowers?
Dude, you got to tell the whole story.
What's the whole story?
You're painting it in a light like I'm not doing anything.
Well, you're not. She's picking you up. She's paying.
Right. I drive everywhere most of the time.
Like catless.
Mm. Right. We get it. Second, you know, I usually drive everywhere. Third, I usually drive everywhere, so that means that, you know.
All right, but she's paying, picking
right,
the movie,
because it
and
was
driving.
Her idea. We together picked the movie.
So just to be sure, you wouldn't go and see Incredibles 2 on your own. You're
no.
only going to be a
no,
good
it's,
boyfriend.
It's a couple's thing. You do together. Why would I go to see it alone? It's not as fun.
Okay, so if you and I were going to the movies.
We wouldn't be. We'd be playing Fortnite.
Good call.
Yeah.
If you and one of your friends.
Uh-huh.
We're going to the movies. One of your car boys.
Right. Okay, going, that came out way wrong, first of all. Second of all, go on.
I felt like it didn't.
Okay.
Anyway, point is, if you and one of your dudes were going to see a movie, would you be going to see The Incredibles?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Positive?
Yeah, because they wouldn't want to see it.
See? Because they're men.
Okay, we get it.
So, all this
the problem is you don't appreciate the Disney life. That's the problem. You don't like Disney movies.
No, because I have testosterone in my body. I'm never...
You and Mike Bibby. We get it.
Right. Yeah, how about that? Well, he's got more testosterone. Anyway, the point is, Disney movies are cool and everything. I'm not saying that Disney movies are not cool or not hip or whatever. They make a ton of money. I get it. It's not my first choice. I want to go see, like, a movie about assassins or gladiators or, you know, a movie that makes me all excited, like Kawhi Leonard joining the Lakers.
It's quite the movie.
What, Incredibles?
It was a joke.
Do you like the Incredibles movie?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Kawhi, breaking news today, first of all. With our president pronouncing the media as the enemy.
Oh, Donald Trump.
Donald J. Trump.
Oh,
please.
Sorry. Not Junior, but Jay. Yeah, okay.
With Donald J. Trump announcing that media is fake news, I got to say, ESPN feeds that fire a little bit. They put out a huge breaking news story today. We have breaking news.
Woj bomb. Center.
No, it wasn't. It was a Chris B. Haynes bomb.
Haynes bomb.
That Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. I'm like, dude, go back, listen to the show in February. We were talking about this. Like, this is not breaking news.
Yeah.
And the other breaking news part of this was, oh, well, Kawhi Leonard wants to go to Los Angeles and prefers the Lakers over the Clippers. Okay.
Who doesn't?
Hello. Nobody wants to be a Clipper, right? Oh, you want to play in the NBA? You got to play for the Clippers. Yeah.
Let's go sell insurance.
Nah. Anyway, the point is, I don't find this to be breaking news at all. So thank you, ESPN, for doing nothing. Secondly, this is never going to happen. If I know the Spurs, and if I know Popovich the way I think I do, he's never trading Kawhi to the Lakers. That's not going to happen.
Right.
Not even because he hates the Lakers, which he does. See Derek Fisher. Just Derek Fisher versus the Spurs. That's all you got to Google search. If he hates the Lakers, and he does, he will do this to spite Kawhi Leonard more than he will because he hates the Lakers.
Yeah.
And by the way, the most logical place for Mr. Leonard is in Boston. That would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Does this surprise you? I'm not surprised by this, but just put a percentage on it. Do you think he winds up in L.A.?
Yeah, I think he does. I think it's probably a 70% chance. I think if it is indeed true what you're saying, that, that Pop, you know, wants to spite Kawhi, then you
Well,
you
at that point, I think he would be.
You know, well, so if that's true, and I agree he would be, if you can't trade him to Boston, do you just not trade him at all and make him sit the whole year and opt out?
Well, no, I think you trade him. Because the Spurs are not stupid. Wasting a huge roster spot and a salary cap hold of this magnitude is foolish. What's more foolish is that the supermax that Kawhi Leonard has earned is now he will never realize it if he leaves San Antonio. He'll be leaving $30 million on the table. And according to breaking news on ESPN... he is willing to leave the $31 million on the table to get to Los Angeles.
Yeah. And I don't blame him.
If he leaves San Antonio, he can opt out after next year and sign a deal worth $188 million. That's still a pretty good penny.
Yeah.
It makes all the sense in the world for him to want to leave there. I don't think he ends up in L.A. I do think he gets to Boston. I don't think he'll go to Cleveland.
No.
If you're Kawhi Leonard, is it L.A. or bust? Because he's saying, there are people saying that he is saying that it's the Lakers or bust, that he will be injured all year if they don't trade him to L.A.
I love that. He'll be, quote unquote, injured.
Oh, my quad hurts so much.
Like, come on, dude.
The pain is excruciating.
Right, like, seriously. Lakers are bust. I mean, it's great for a player to say, yeah, I want to go play for the Lakers, and that's my preferred spot.
He's
and
an LA/San Diego SoCal guy.
I mean, it makes sense, just like it makes sense for LeBron, but that doesn't mean he's going to go there. I think it's got to make sense for everybody involved. So it makes sense for the Lakers. It makes sense for Kawhi. Not sure it makes sense for the Spurs.
What would make it make sense for the Spurs?
The price tag would be steep, dude.
Well, I think the starting, let's just play make-believe. If the Spurs are going to trade Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers, you have to start with a baseline of Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Then we need to talk about picks. I think that's the starting point. I do not think that you can get Ingram and Randall in picks and that deal gets done. You're trading the best defensive player in the NBA and one of the emerging offensive stars in Kawhi Leonard. And you're taking back a guy, in my opinion, in Kyle Kuzma, who has a long way to go to even be in the conversation of a top 20 player in this league right now. As much growth as we saw in year one with the Lakers, he's not a top 20 player. And Brandon Ingram's not a top 20 player. He's got to eat a ton of carbs just so he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of development there. And that sounds like a lot, but I don't think it is a lot for a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who all but the personality, really, is a superstar. We're even seeing him act like a diva now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think it would be a good move for the Spurs if they were able to get the talents of Ingram, Kuzma, and a high-end draft pick. That's hopefully three quality players that you can build a new team around, you know, and have good balance. And you're still gonna have the core players you have currently.
I don't think there's any way the Spurs do that. I mean, you could offer them the entire roster, and I don't think they'd take it.
So if you go with Boston, what's the price tag? Because it's not Kyrie and Hayward are not going anywhere.
I disagree with you. I think there's a lot of common sense that says the Boston Celtics would be better off with Kawhi Leonard instead of Kyrie Irving. A lot of common sense. Coming off of a major knee injury, right? In Kyrie, coming off of a major knee injury, he is a guy that team won without. So if you were to package Kyrie and Jaylen Brown, and one of the picks that's not yours, because Boston has a bunch of picks that aren't theirs, you could make that deal if you wanted to. Now, Gordon and Jaylen Brown doesn't get that done, because Gordon's not a superstar. Kyrie Irving's a superstar. Jaylen Brown's going to be a superstar, and you get a high draft pick. That's a no-brainer. And for Boston, doesn't Kawhi Leonard do everything that Kyrie does? No, it's not flashy, the handle.
I think it's in a sense, he does this. He fits the same role. I think they just go about the game totally like the attitude towards the game.
Completely
like,
different
just,
players.
Like just totally different players. I agree. They fit the same role on the team as the leader, as your go-to offensive, offensive guy, your go-to. When
but
you
think
need
about
a bucket,
it this way, Jake. Who do you want? You can only have one, no matter your team, Kawhi Leonard or Kyrie Irving. I'm taking Kawhi Leonard. He's more durable. He's a much better defender. He shoots well. Like, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to like Kawhi Leonard. And by the way, he's the best defensive player in the NBA. He can guard and has shown he can check LeBron one-on-one.
Yeah, he can.
I mean, what are we even talking about?
I think it's very close. I think it depends what you want. Again, so often in the NBA, I think it comes down to, you know, what you need, right? Like, so do the Spurs need a player like Kawhi who can play that kind of defense and rebound and do all that? Or do they need a guy in Kyrie who's got the handle, lead your offense, has
they
a great
shot?
They
need the next Tony Parker.
That's Kyrie Irving.
It makes sense.
But again, it's I don't know.
Who's better? I don't disagree. Look at
but
it this way. If you take Kyrie out of the picture because he didn't play a good part of the year.
I don't think he's going anywhere. Honestly, I don't. Like why would you acquire him from Cleveland in a great trade if you're Boston? That was a phenomenal trade for Boston. Easily
won
the trade.
You wanted to win.
Right.
Oh, and you did win without him and without Gordon.
You had a nice year, and you went really far with your young guys, and I think that was very impressive. I loved what they did. But you're talking about – we're sitting here talking about blowing your superstar to San Antonio and getting Kawhi back. What happens if Kawhi's quad gets hurt again? What happens if Kyrie's knee gets hurt again? I don't know. But
I think there's much more risk in Kyrie than there is in
I don't – so you want Terry Rozier to run the offense to bring it up?
No, I want Kawhi Leonard to bring it up.
Nah, I just don't think that's who he is. I don't think that's the role he fits.
But
that's
what he's been. There's not a – and this is the problem with Kawhi Leonard because he's not outspoken. He's not boisterous. He's not, like, out front talking to everybody. Kawhi Leonard's one of the best transition guards in the NBA. You would never even think about that. He's got incredible ability to finish at the rim.
Right.
But you don't think about that. What do you think about? Well, he can shoot the three a little bit, and, man, he can really defend.
Well, I think he in my opinion, I think of him a little more highly on offense than that. Like, yeah, I think he's got a lot of post move. He can shoot the three. He's strong, very strong for his frame and the way he looks. Because he doesn't look the way LeBron looks, all muscular and like, hey, I'm a pit bull. He just looks like a long, lanky guy, and he is just, you know, very strong. So I don't know. Me personally, for my team, with what we're talking about in this trade. If I'm Boston, I'm keeping Kyrie because I like the dynamic of Kyrie, Gordon, and, you know, everybody else that would play in that. And then having Rozier come off the bench behind that.
The numbers work.
Well, yeah, I'm sure the numbers do work, but it's more than the numbers, right? Like, it depends on how the front office in Boston, because this is more about Boston than it is San Antonio, right?
Is it, though?
I think it is. I think if you're Boston, there is zero reason to change anything on your roster right now. You are set.
Oh, I disagree with that 100%. Because I think the East is going to take a major, major facelift. I think the changing times in Philadelphia, and don't forget, Sixers are going to be a completely different team. Colangelo got fired, left, whatever you want to call it, on burner Twittergate. And you have to know that if all the video we've seen of Ben Simmons shooting, and if it is true that Joel Embiid has dedicated himself to being in fantastic physical condition, they have salary cap space. They have salary cap need, right? Like you have to upgrade that roster. So they're going to be better. The Celtics certainly are not standing pat. They're going to be better. What's going to happen in Cleveland? Because if LeBron leaves,
it's a two-team conference, dude. Until the Raptors, you know, prove to people that
they have a new head coach.
So
they're going to make
saying.
Some moves.
You know what I mean? So, like, the Raptors are in an interesting position.
Indiana?
I would not. Indiana's just always going to be a tough team. I don't buy them to win the East.
I think Vic Oladipo.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's not as good as Kyrie.
He's
coming up.
He's coming.
He's coming, right? Yeah. But I get that. But we're talking about this coming season, right? And we're talking about the dynamic that would change if Kawhi was a Boston Celtic instead of Kyrie and potentially Jaylen Brown in one of the picks that the Celtics have. So if you take Kyrie and Jaylen Brown out of the East and you insert Kawhi into the East, and let's assume that LeBron goes to L.A., so now the Cavs are terrible.
Yeah.
You basically have Boston at the top, Philly right breathing down their neck.
Milwaukee. thank you.
Washington. And then Toronto falls somewhere on the board.
Washington's that team. Well, Toronto's interesting. Can you move Valachunas? What did you do? Well,
that's what I'm saying. So they fall somewhere on the spectrum. It's hard. Yeah. We don't know where they're going to land. And as far as Washington goes,
yeah, you're right.
I always have high hopes for them, and then they always let me down. So I'm not buying Washington until you show me that you can get to the finals. Like, get to the finals, and then I'll say, okay, we figured it out. Every year I'm high on them, and I love John Wall, and I love what, you know, Beal and Wall can do together. But I always find myself disappointed. And I always find myself enjoying watching Boston and Philly go at it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Real quick before we get out of LeBron.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't like this story at all. LeBron James went to Miami for a quick visit after the Eastern Conference Finals, where they knock off Boston. He goes to Miami for a day and a half. Meets with Udonis Haslam and Dwayne Wade, and then goes back to Cleveland to prepare for the NBA Finals. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he lied to Cleveland. I feel like this was... Because you know what? I think this is disingenuous. Because he's been saying all along, well, I'm not focused on that. I'm not, you know... Because what's the implication of meeting with Udonis Haslam?
Oh, the implication is that you're going to talk to D. Wade and Haslam.
And Haslam is out there talking about how
he's going to recruit him.
Yes.
So the implication is he went, that was a business trip. Hey, what's your, you know, what is your setup? Why would I come to Miami? Like, it's a recruiting trip.
And those are two of his best friends in the world.
Well, and that's what I was going to say.
Really tight with Wade and Haslam.
Yeah, and Haslam are his boys. And so that's why... There is a slight defense, but that's terrible timing. I agree with you. It's disingenuous.
The optics
The optics are horrible. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the guy who says he lied, but you didn't work in honesty. You didn't. You basically...
Wait, so he didn't lie, but he wasn't honest.
Yeah, there's a difference. There's a huge difference.
Donald J.
There's
Trump.
An absolute difference.
No, he just lies. Anyway, the point is...
Yeah.
If you're a Cavs player... If you are Kevin Love, are you pissed?
I mean, he can... I don't know.
Say it. What you were going to say. They don't matter. It doesn't matter if
he's
pissed.
Not that they don't matter. The problem is that there's nothing they can say or do that's going to affect LeBron's decision-making. That's the problem.
Correct.
Kevin Love matters and did matter on that team. He was the only person LeBron could allegedly count on. So... Yeah, if Kevin Love found out about that when LeBron got back, or even knew about it, it's like, yeah, you can complain about it, but what good is it going to do?
It's total BS.
Like, but
this
what is he going to do?
This is such BS.
Right, because he knew he was going to lose. See, and this is what I love. LeBron's supposed to be this guy.
Wait. He didn't know he was going to lose until after the J.R. Smith game one thing, which everybody says he quit.
I think he knew he was going to lose. I think it was on the wall. Dude, everybody, you were saying this is going to be a sweep, if not a five-gamer. You think LeBron's stupid?
No.
He's not stupid.
But can you really, if you're LeBron James, and this is one of those conversations where you'll never know the answer, but
right.
Can you go into a series saying, yeah, we're going to get pounded here?
Yeah, I think when it's that far.
The NBA Finals?
Come on.
You're LeBron James. You think
you're
you
LeBron would... James playing 1-on-5, and you're trying to tell me that he said to himself, yeah, we got a chance to win this series.
I think what LeBron James said was, we got to take this one game at a time. And I think after game one, he didn't believe they could win.
Yeah, and then he lied about his broken hand. Yeah, so that'd be the second lie.
Right. So, but my point is, he's been dishonest about I think the decision's made. And I honestly don't think he's going back to Miami. Although I think if he does go to Miami, there's a real good chance they could win. Because the East, as we've been sitting here talking about, the East is weak. The East is a 2-3 team conference. But I don't think that that means he is for sure. I mean, you have a guy like a Hassan Whiteside that's a huge problem for them. Does Hassan Whiteside become more motivated because LeBron James is there? I don't know.
Probably.
Does Goran Dragic share the ball more because LeBron is there? I don't know. But I don't see a mix of players on that team where I'm like, wow, James Johnson, whew. Man, are you, wow, Dion Waiters? Hey now.
Right.
That doesn't excite me.
No, the Lakers are the best choice, in my opinion, for where he's at in his career, what he'd like to do, finishing strong in your career. I'm a huge believer in that.
Yeah, me too.
I believe that you can be terrible in the middle of your career, but if you finish the last 5 years of your career, if you were to go out and win two more rings in the last five, six seasons, I mean, nobody's going to remember that he got absolutely destroyed
this year.
Dude.
He's
That's
gone.
What I'm saying. But like,
He's
it's
gone.
Not. Let's be logical. Let's just think about it in black and white terms. This is not rocket science. The dude knows he needs to win, and he wants to win. He doesn't want to play for the Magic or the Heat. Just because he played for the Heat doesn't mean he would play for them again.
I think it's LA.
Me too. I think it is. And the bigger issue here for me, if you're LeBron, is, yeah, LA looks nice and it's the shiny diamond, but, you know, I just think that in the West, he's going to be tough.
And what happens if they get Kawhi Leonard? Are you kidding me? Wait, why are you shrugging
because
if you're listening
say,
on the radio?
Because here's what's coming. If they get Kawhi Leonard, they're going to win the West and they're going to win the finals.
If they get Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James together, and depending on what you give up and then what you add, if you trade for Kawhi Leonard, and let's say just utopic best case scenario, if you trade Luol Deng, Kyle Kuzma, and Brandon Ingram to the Spurs for Kawhi Leonard, you have enough to bring in three guys after renouncing your rights to Julius Randle. And those three guys are Kawhi, Paul George, and LeBron James. You're better than the Warriors.
No, I disagree.
Oh,
I disagree.
Okay, well, Paul George is capable.
So what would the matchups be, in your opinion, if
they
had
those
three?
That's exactly my point.
So
Paul George is capable of locking Kevin Durant up. He's done it. They've had great matchups. I think you can put Kawhi Leonard anywhere on the floor. He can guard four positions outside of the center spot. And then LeBron James, who's actually turned himself into a nice little defender, winds up what? On Clay? On my guess is that you would take Paul George and put him on Clay Thompson.
Yeah, you can't have
LeBron
running with Clay.
You put LeBron on KD.
I think
KD's gotten the best of that matchup.
What, LeBron, KD?
Yeah, it's been very close, but I think KD's had that. I mean, he's had signature three-point shots over LeBron 2 years in a row.
But that's why I say, like, I get that Kawhi is the best defender in the NBA at pretty much all four spots. But at the same time, I think there's something to be said for, yeah, talent, like Spurs on one hand, Warriors on the other hand, just on paper, names versus names, who do you think would win? And then I think it comes down to coaching. And then you consider the fact, well, then it would be Luke Walton versus Steve Kerr.
I think,
to me is fascinating. Because
I think it's close, man.
Because I think Walton learned a ton. I think he's shown that he learned a ton. I think he's shown he's very tactical. But who would you rather have, Stevens or Walton? Out of those two.
Steve Kerr or Walton?
No, the guy
Brad Stevens
from Boston. So Brad Stevens or Luke Walton?
Oh, Brad Stevens.
I think it's close though. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's very close.
I think Luke's done a nice job.
I think he has too, but has he ever had to, as he would having to manage three personalities like that, LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George, would that be a huge challenge for him or is he capable?
I think he's capable because LeBron's a manager. LeBron's a guy that wrangles his cattle. He's a guy that keeps those locker rooms together. He's a guy, and that's what was so telling about the J.R. Smith, I broke my hand thing, because he didn't manage that. He lost his mind.
Yeah.
And I think if you brought those three together, I think that would be nothing short of fantastic.
Who else is on the team at that point? So what, you have Brook Lopez, right?
Yeah, you have. I think you actually are in really good shape because you've upgraded everybody. And I think the other guy that, again, I know we talk about him, I feel like, for the last 3 days on this show, but Kentavious Caldwell-Pope becomes somebody who's really important. You have under contract right now Luol Deng for $18 million the next 2 years.
That's got to go.
So you can either trade him or stretch that out, right? And it just depends on how you want to handle it. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Kyle Kuzma are all gone, right? So that
Where's Lonzo going? Just in a trade somewhere?
I would guess so.
Like just in a trade package?
You can't keep Lonzo Ball if he's going to be a sixth man. And he's well, not starting with those guards.
But that's what I was saying. If you look at the starting five.
Otherwise, I guess you're right there.
Like, but my question is, so if you're trading Kuz, Ingram, and Julius, that leaves you with Lonzo, KCP, Josh Hart,
yep.
and Brooke Lopez.
Yes.
And so my point is, okay, you could work with that. I don't love Brooke Lopez in the middle full time. I think you need to go out and find someone who's a little more agile.
He is the best three-point shooting big man in basketball. He has extended that game so he doesn't have to play in the paint.
That works in the regular season. In my opinion, that would not work in the postseason.
I don't think he'd play more than 10 minutes a game in the playoffs. Yeah.
Well, that's my thing. So everybody's acknowledged the fact that the big man in the NBA is no longer the Brook Lopez style. He's only in the NBA because he developed a three-point shot, and kudos to him for doing that. You'd rather have Porzingis than Brooke Lopez.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, of course.
But they're relatively the same size, right?
Yeah, but Porzingis is they call him a unicorn for a reason. The guy's got handle, the guy's got Jay.
But that's my point. That's the kind of center you need in today's league for him to be effective.
I think the center position is LeBron James. I think the center position is Draymond. I think this is the problem with Valachunas. He doesn't fit in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing the Golden State Warriors and that's the model, the Houston Rockets minimized minutes of Clint Capella because he cannot play against the Warriors in that up-and-down, run-and-gun style.
Yeah, the chaos.
Yeah, chaos. Well, he can't play in that.
But that's the problem, right? That is the absolute problem for anybody playing the Warriors. That's how you know you're in trouble. When you're in the chaos with them and Steph's hitting his threes and you close out Steph so he throws it to Clay and he's knocking it down, and then if those two are closed off, it's KD in the mid-range. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, throw Kawhi on KD and hope for the best.
But that's why all of this salary cap room that the Lakers have been saving makes a huge difference, because if you do sign three max guys, and who knows, this is one of them is going to have to take a discount, which is probably not LeBron because of where he's at in his career.
It'd be Paul George.
It would probably have to be Paul George because you would be trading for Kawhi, so his salary is locked.
Yep.
LeBron would get the max, and Paul George would have to take less.
Yeah.
Because then you can bring back a KCP.
But I think Paul George would take less.
I think he would too. I still think the Julius Randle thing is a big, big deal. You need to figure out what to do with him because he's got a qualifying offer at $5 million. Can you afford him? You know, if somebody offers him $10 million, you can't afford him.
Yeah.
So I think you have to do a sign and trade with him, because you cannot let a guy the quality of Julius Randle, who's blossoming into a top 20 player in the league, you cannot let that guy just walk away for nothing.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's a fascinating conversation. The LeBron James visit to Miami is incredibly disappointing. Not that I'm somebody who could be disappointed by LeBron, because he doesn't give a damn what I think, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's really disappointing to me. Anyway, hey, I do want to get to Major League Baseball, because I know we can't do our usual hour and 5 minutes today because Jake is being picked up to go and see Incredibles 2. It's a big night in the young man's life. So
yeah,
what? I should stop being a jerk. You hate me, don't you?
I'm just sitting over here.
You do resent me.
I'm still over here.
I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop. Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Should there be a DH in the National League? Rob Manfred made some comments that he felt like it was moving in the right direction. Are you for or against the designated hitter in the National League?
I mean, I'm against it just on premise. I think the DH is something that It was simply put in to add more offense to the game.
And to make the game more compelling. That's the bottom
line. But now, where are we at? We're at a point in the game where it's home run or it's strikeout for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And now that's hurting the quality of the game because you find that we're getting 10 Ks a game, so the game is allegedly boring to some fans. I love it, but the game is boring to a lot of common fans who are just going there. Like, who are just going there to have a beer, eat some peanuts, and enjoy a baseball game, right?
Yeah.
It's boring to those people, and that's the majority of the people buying tickets to your game. So, in my opinion, I think if you're going to put a DH in the National League, you need to merge the leagues and have one big league.
Well, all of this coming on the news that attendance is way off. Attendance is 6.5% off. They're only averaging 27,328.
Yeah.
That's really low. And it's still a decent number, but all these cool newfangled baseball parks, all these teams that are losing, I don't think the designated hitter is why the game has become boring. I think it is a lack of spending. It is a lack of understanding how to build a baseball team. The fact that Theo Epstein can hop from Boston to Chicago and not miss a beat and build two world championship caliber clubs is not accidental. And I look at teams like Tampa. I look at what Derek Jeter is doing in Miami. Maybe Jeter is on the right direction. He'll hand out many more gift baskets to hot chicks he's banging. I don't know. But I don't see them winning anytime in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't see a team like Tampa surviving because nobody cares about the Tampa Bay Rays. I look at Atlanta and Philadelphia. How are they doing this? Young, developed talent. Yet I look at a team, you know, and pick the poison club right now. I look at a team like the San Francisco Giants. Why are they failing? Because they're buying all of their talent. All of the Jeff Samardzijas, the Johnny Cuetos, the Longorias, all of them are hurt. You know, like, you can't buy talent or even buy most of your talent and win in Major League Baseball. It just doesn't work. And so I think that's what's wrong. There is a fatal flaw in front offices that allows teams like the Mets to suck, the Tigers to suck. Major market, big revenue teams, not building clubs the right way. That's what's wrong with baseball. On the field, there's one thing you can do to make the game better. Get rid of the shift. Outlaw the shift. Because it just, to me, it devalues pitching and it handicaps offenses. And I think you should outlaw it for the better of the game. You might not like that, you know, and everybody's shifting these days. You might not like that, but I'm telling you right now, the right thing to do is outlaw the shift. That's how you make baseball fun.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, the shift is something that's completely changed the game. Right, it's padded all the pitching stats. It's padded all the defensive numbers. So now, guys who typically, you know, wouldn't have low ERAs have low ERAs, and now offensive numbers are down. So it's less runs per game. It's less Billy Hamilton triples. It's less, you know, it's less exciting plays in a game that most people call slow.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you would get rid of the shift and just say, I mean, in your opinion, get rid of the shift means what actually on the field? Like, what would be the guidelines?
I think you have to have two men on each side of second base.
And you can't have more than that,
you cannot obviously have more than two guys
yeah
on each side of second base.
Yeah.
You cannot have three guys on one side of the infield.
Yeah.
You can only have two.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, if that means that you want to shift the way your outfield's playing, maybe you do that. I don't know. But the ground ball out to middle right field is killing the game.
Yeah.
It is driving run support down. And pitching is not good right now.
No.
But we're seeing tons of strikeouts. We're watching the Padres and the Atlanta Braves as we do this show. And it's Brandon McCarthy. You know, pitching's not good. It's not deep. It's really telling that the best teams in baseball, the best pitching staffs in baseball, are young staffs, are developed staffs. You know, and the teams that are really good, and let's take my Chicago Cubs, for example. What's wrong with the Cubs? They bought all of their pitching. Yu Darvish has been a complete waste of a free agent contract so far. And he may turn that around. Threw 35 pitches today, said he felt fine. Tells the Japanese media that he's not nearly 100%. So he's not close to pitching. He's probably not going to pitch this the rest of the first half. Well, that happens when you buy pitching.
Yeah.
You know, it just is. It's the Giants. You know, the Giants have four minor leaguers on their roster, in their rotation. You're not going to win like that because your guys are hurt. And your guys are, like Evan Longoria, for those of you who don't know, broke the same bone that Madison Bumgarner broke. He got hit with a pitch last night. Broke the metatarsal. He's out for probably 2 months. That's a death knell to them, an absolute death knell to them.
Yeah.
You know, but meanwhile, you get the Atlanta Braves, who just got a home run from Freddie Freeman, who's their guy, born and raised. That's the key to baseball. Anyway, why am I lecturing on this?
I don't know.
Interleague play is also interesting to me, because mm-hmm. if we're going to make foundational changes like DH to the National League, can we eliminate interleague play? It was cool when they first brought it in. I don't need Tampa versus Miami. Even Texas and Houston.
I don't think you need to eliminate interleague play. I think you need better matchups if you're going to do it.
Well, and that's your one league theory.
It's got to be Dodgers-Yankees. It's got to be, you know, Cubs-Red Sox. It's got to be
marquee
great
matchups.
Teams. It's yeah. got to be, you know, it's got to be this year specifically, it's got to be Mariners and, you know, Cubs or Giants or whoever you want to fit, Nationals, you know, like yeah. it's got to be marquee matchups. If you're going to do it, it needs to be, you know, 10 times a year. ESPN needs to carry all of them, and it needs to be Sunday Night Baseball.
But how does this, to me, I think the one league thing works in that scenario. Because I don't think fans are going out to, with the attendance numbers like this, fans aren't going out to interleague play.
Yeah.
In Chicago, in New York, in even Southern California, Bay Area, A's, Giants is huge.
But, like, that's a local rivalry. They're not going because it's interleague. They're going because it's a local rivalry.
Right, but that's my point. Yeah. Those are few and far between.
Yeah.
If you're the St. Louis Cardinals, the Royals-Cardinals matchup does not have heat. It doesn't. And we can talk about all these regional matchups all you want. Who's Atlanta got to be an interleague play rival with? Nobody. Nobody.
Yeah.
It doesn't work all across Major League Baseball anymore.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to recognize that. So,
yeah.
Having said that, good Lord, your Giants are screwed.
Yeah.
I think this might be the end of the Giants with Longoria going on the list.
Yeah, I mean, look, this year it was a reach to say they were going to get to the playoffs even after the acquisitions. Like, yeah, that was great effort by the front office to go and get those guys, and I like the move. But at some point, when you're done, you're done. Like, that's baseball. Injuries happen. And I'm okay with that. Like, at some point, they're going to have to suck for a little while. That's how it works. Sports is cyclical. You have to suck for a while, and then you're good again. Just like the Cubs. Just like the Red Sox. Yeah. Just like the Blackhawks yeah. in yeah. hockey. Like, there's so many examples. Just like Philly in basketball.
It just is heartbreaking.
Oh, it's tough.
Because the Giants have worked and worked and worked to fill gaps, address needs, and Brandon Crawford's Brandon Belt appendix explodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not been good.
I mean, Bum getting a broken hand the last start of spring training. You just wonder what karmic god did they piss off, because they've just, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong.
You know, I think it's just time. It's time. That's the best way I can put it. You've been good for a decade. It's time.
Yeah, well, what does that mean?
It's time for them to go into the downturn, build up the farm system, trade everybody except your super core guys like Bum and Buster and Panic and Crawford and Belt. Like, those five guys are the core of your team. You keep those guys, and everybody else is expendable. Do what you have to do to put yourself in a position 3 years from now to be relevant again.
Yeah.
You know? You're talking about playing, like, you're literally talking about, for a downturn for a big league club, you're talking about like 500-600 games. It's a long time.
It sucks. It just sucks because baseball's better when the Giants are better.
Oh, for sure. They're one of those teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that's why the Dodgers being just mediocre so far and slowly coming back is not good for baseball. When it was Lincecum Kershaw, baseball was good.
Yeah.
Baseball was really good.
Well,
you know?
And the other interesting part of this, by the way, is that The teams that we're not talking about are getting healthy. The Padres, who I'm not saying are in contention, but you have Will Myers and Franchi Cordero out on rehab assignments now.
You know what the Padres are? No, they're not a playoff team, but they're a fun team to watch.
They are
a fun team to watch.
Yeah, Clayton Richard dueling in Atlanta tonight is fun to watch.
But that's the problem right there. It's Clayton Richard and Brandon McCarthy. I'm sorry, who's pitching?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Yeah. Nobody knows.
But you also have a guy like Joey Lucchesi, who's damn near ready to come back to the big leagues for the Padres. Like, the Padres are coming. The scary thing is the Diamondbacks are coming. You know, you have all kinds of rehab happening for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch Shelby Miller pitch, and I'm probably the only idiot on the planet who's willing to say that.
I'm excited to see him pitch. I don't believe in the guy. I just don't believe in him. And I know he throws hard, but listen, why is he any different? He throws hard. He's got a good slider and a good changeup.
Because he's got that downward plane. He's got that driving fastball down. And I think what the Diamondbacks saw in him, they never got because he was never right. Mentally, he fell apart, and then he finally got back and was pitching well, and then blew his UCL. So
yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying he sucks. I'm not saying he's not capable, because he is. He's talented. He's a big arm. But he's going to have to do it. Like, give me 5 to 7 quality starts at some point, and just show me, hey.
Well, give me 20 quality starts.
Well, no, but that's not going to happen this year.
Right,
but like
next year.
Like this year, if he, because are they saying he's coming back this year, right?
Within a week or so. He should be a week to 10 days.
So like these first 10 starts are just him coming back, like getting back in the flow of the game. And then after that, like towards the end of the year, maybe, you know, like August maybe, when he's fully back and comfortable, if he can give you a good August, good September, maybe a good playoff push, then he's done something. Then he's got value.
Yeah, I think he'll do that. And by the way, the panic over the Dansby Swanson trade, because Shelby Miller was sent to Atlanta essentially for Dansby Swanson and Ender Inciarte. They miss Inciarte way more than they would miss Dansby, because I think he's just been average.
Yeah, and the Diamondbacks have gotten good in middle infield play.
Yeah, so. They have. But anyway, the point is, the teams in this division are going to get healthy. The Dodgers have to go and get somebody. The Diamondbacks just have to wait for their guys to come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think the Dodgers are going to win the division. It's just my opinion. I have no reason to say that, because they haven't shown, probably 20 games that they have life in them. We'll see if maybe they hit some switch after the All-Star break. I have no idea.
Right.
But I think that the NL West, it's sad, because it could have still been one of the best divisions in baseball. And now without Longoria, it is a kick in the bag for the Giants. Without Longoria, and then again, I'm still more worried about my Cubs than any other team in baseball, because the strikeout rate that we have seen out of this team, and I know the numbers do not play this out. I'm a stat geek in baseball. I look at offensive numbers on a daily basis. The Cubs' offensive numbers don't say they strike out any more than anybody else, and they don't.
They strike out at the wrong time, and they don't execute in the clutch.
Their average, their OPS, their slugging, like all of those metrics with two outs and runners in scoring position is horrendous.
Yeah, you can say it, you know, 10 different ways, right? But if you're not gonna drive in runs with men, and if you're not going to get a hit, if you're not going to produce with runners in scoring position, you're not going to win. It's that simple. And you can blame it on the pitchers. You can say Quintana pitched terrible today, or Chatwood walked too many guys. At some point, it's no longer the pitcher's fault. And that's tough to take.
And Chatwood's terrible.
I don't disagree, right? Like, I don't disagree, but not the reason you're a terrible team.
And the problem is, he's not terrible if he's an upgrade to Brandon McCarthy.
Yeah.
Chatwood is a bottom of the
rotation
pitcher.
He's quality for the Rockies.
Yeah, he's a bottom of the rotation pitcher for a mediocre team.
Yeah.
He's not a fifth starter for the supposed World Series favored.
Yeah.
And he yet has been in this position on a regular basis. They're a game and a half behind the Brewers, because the Brewers are a better pitching club. Right? In the last two games that we saw between the Cubs and the Brewers were the better team.
Yeah.
Tonight, I think it's Waka and Lester. Cubs, Cardinals, John Lester's got to deliver.
And he did deliver last time out.
Yeah, he's got to be the ace for this team.
Yeah.
Because if he's not, they don't win. And I still think that they have a very...
Dude, it's going to be a battle like the entire year until... And I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, it's odd to me that a team this talented just can't come through in the clutch. It's not like this is one of those problems in life where it's not like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm not working enough hours at work to pay my bills, so let me work more hours. This is, hey, see the ball, hit the ball when there's runners in scoring position, and they can't do it.
How worried about Chris Bryant should I be? Because I'm really worried. He's not hitting home runs.
No, he's not hitting for power. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think the guy is, done or not going to come back. But I just think that he's a younger player. I mean, what is he, 25 now? So he's still in the good shape career wise.
He was not an 18-year-old draft pick.
Right.
This is a guy that is an older player, but I think he's played so many games that it's going to be natural to bottom out a little bit.
Yeah.
He's very different than Kyle Schwarber last year. He's very different than Bryce Harper because Bryce is still hitting tons of home runs. The flip side is Chris Bryant is an elite defender who's a 300 hitter who's not hitting home runs anymore.
Right.
And that's quite concerning because he's a corner infielder. Everybody else that you expect to hit for power, the Schwarbers, the Baezes, Riz, of course.
Yeah.
They're hitting for power, except Chris Bryant. And they're losing 2-0 games. I'm concerned about it. I'm very concerned about it. And they're in St. Louis in a very critical series because the Cardinals are, 3.5 games back or 2.5 games, I guess, behind the Cubs right now. They're 4 out in the division. So this is a critical weekend. You've got to get quality starts.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like Yu Darvish is that motivated to get back as soon as he can.
Yeah.
Which is a little disappointing.
He's going to get paid.
So I'm worried about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we go.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about the iPhone. There was a new iPhone leak.
Yeah.
That said those of us elitists in this world, the upper 1% who know how awesome the iPhone is, are going to get an iPhone 10 Plus in August. Do you like it? What do you think? What do you rock?
7 Plus.
7 Plus.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of the iPhone 10.
Yeah.
A huge fan. The wireless charging, love it, except when the ghosts throw it off my nightstand. Yeah. I love the iPhone X. I would love an iPhone 10 Plus, X Plus, whatever you want to call it. I would love a Plus.
Yeah.
And if they bring that out, if that's truly what's going to happen, and they're going to make it cost appropriate, because these OLED screens that they use, these high-end, super awesome, Chris Bryant breaks out of his slump with a 448-foot home run.
Well, hello.
Thanks for listening to the show, KB. Love you, buddy. They are going to use a lower-end or a more cost-effective screen that gives you the same quality. It'll be $60 less to build per phone because they're not going to use the OLED screen.
Right.
I mean, look, I love Apple already, but now I am in love with the iPhone. Like, I am ready to put a ring on it.
Yeah.
The iPhone 10 Plus just be...
Yeah, it's smart by them.
Could you see yourself ever going to a Droid?
No.
But why?
It's garbage. It is Bush League.
What
get
does that
out
mean
of
it's
here.
Garbage?
Dude, you know the most common defense I hear out of Droiders? Whether you're a Samsung person, an LG person, whatever piece of crap you own.
It's garbage.
Yeah, it's garbage. It is. It really is. And here's why it's garbage. Just because on the iPhone you don't have flexibility, you can't manipulate the phone. Bro, what are you doing? What are you doing to your phone that you need to, like, what do you mean flexibility? It does everything and it does it well.
Well, but the Apple Maps thing is a big deal. Apple Maps is offline.
I never use Apple Maps.
I use Google Maps.
Why is Apple Maps a thing? Like, I use Google Maps.
Or what's the other one? Waze.
I don't use Waze anymore.
I don't either.
Not a fan.
I use Google Maps.
Yeah, man. Old reliable.
I'm a little worried about the Apple Map thing.
Why?
But just because it'd be nice if the proprietary mapping system actually worked.
But see, and I get that. But there's an alternative that's worked and consistently works.
Yeah. Google Maps is great. I love it. I don't have any issue with it. I use it every day.
Yeah.
So the reason I don't like Droid is my lovely wife, Britt, struggles with her phone. She has...
Every day.
And you know that she has the V20 or V30, whatever it is?
LG V30.
It's a nice phone.
No, it's not.
but it's just okay. You know, like the FaceTime thing. We can't FaceTime together.
Can't FaceTime. Don't have iMessage. Can't, like...
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
The iMessage thing, the only thing I do, and this is really petty, I'm just going to admit this out front.
Here we go.
I get a ton of emails.
Mm-hmm.
It really bothers me that when I mark an email red on my iPhone, it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
It still shows it as unread sometimes, and it's regularly happening, and I hate it. I've always hated it. The only phone that I liked more than my iPhone was my BlackBerry. But BlackBerries have been decimated. Yeah, I know they're back in the market. But let's be honest, chicks dig the iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're out there trolling for them honeys. No, you're not. I'm kidding. What does your girlfriend have?
An iPhone.
Yeah.
A dingy 6, but an iPhone. Oh, no, actually, she's got a 10 now. She just got the 10. Actually, she just got the 10.
I was going to say, how are you going to break up with her? 3 days ago,
yeah. Yeah, she just got the 10.
Because if she had a 6, you got to break up with her.
No.
Like, there's too much quality product out there. Like, you can't
She's got a 10. Chill. Just chill. She's got a 10.
Okay. Well, you said dingy 6.
Because it was dingy and it was a 6.
Right, but that means that would be a relationship. That would be a deal breaker, right?
No.
Okay.
She's got an iPhone. What does it matter?
A dingy 6. You can't be rolling around with an iPhone 6.
Hold on. You're mocking me about my girlfriend having an iPhone 6 that's dingy when your girlfriend's got a piece of crap Droid.
Well, she's my wife, and she gets 50% of everything if I dump her, so I'm not doing that. Sorry. You know, big difference.
You know, you get married, and all of a sudden, your nuts are in a jar.
By the way, she's been in L.A. for 2 weeks, my wife. Her mom had her knee replaced. And she's been in L.A. for 2 weeks, and it feels like 2 months. And I was up there last week, and it still feels like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just enough.
When is she coming home? Sunday?
Tomorrow. We got to clean. We have company coming tomorrow night. My niece and her friend are coming to stay over.
Oh, her friend?
Yeah.
Oh, who's her friend?
I don't know. Just some college girl.
Oh. Oh, her friend is coming now.
Yeah.
Well, I think Sunday morning, I may have a car thing I need to go to, and I may have to start the car up. What do you think?
Yeah, okay. Why don't you start the car in the garage?
Oh, because it's loud. It echoes. Yeah. It makes it louder than it is.
Anyway. Well, you have to go see The Incredibles, too.
Yeah.
So we should probably go.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But you're really serious about this movie's an awesome movie.
Yeah, it is. You should Netflix the original one because it's awesome.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I know.
I could Netflix Gladiator. Oh, wait, I have it on DVD. I don't know. I'm just not a huge cartoon movie guy. You know, like The Avengers was cool.
That's not even close to the same thing.
Right. It's a man's movie. Like, they lift weights in that movie. And they fly spaceships and stuff. They don't fly babies.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know. I'm just not a cartoon movie guy.
I get it.
You're Lion King me. Whatever. It is what it is.
What are you, LeBron now? Lion King me?
Yeah. Hey, whatever. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Jake, say goodbye.
Goodbye, Jake. Just a